As we read every Sunday morning, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated today. You know, we want to continue on in this series that I have been working on, and it is to the ends of the earth. And my prayer and the challenge that I give and set before you is to continue to share the good news and continue to share the word, continue to share encouragement, continue to let people know there is another way, that the world is not at the end, that there is a brand new world that is coming, and that they can enter into knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and that we can continue to reach the lost, and we can continue to go on to the ends of the earth, because we know the Lord is with us. So we're now at sermon number 4. If you've missed some of the sermons, you can go back. Let your friends, let your families know about www.vfclexington.org, and let them know about your church. Advertise your church. Share with your church. Last night, I had taken my family out, which was my daughter. She graduated. I'm very proud of her as her father, proud to be her father, blessed to be her father as she has achieved her master's degree in education in literacy and language. And she is loving what she loves to do. She loves to teach children, and she loves to teach. She's always been doing that since she was a little girl. She'd have all her dolls sitting around, and she'd be teaching them when she was little. And so ever since then, she has never strayed away from it. Her second grade teacher inspired her. Believe it or not, folks, there are teachers that will inspire you. And so she was inspired, and from that moment on, she's never looked back. I tried to get her to go into computers, engineering. I tried to get her to go into something. No, Dad, I want to go into education. I want to be a school teacher. And that's where she's at, and she's loving what she's doing. But I am proud of her today. And but as I was out with them last night, I had taken them out to eat, and there we were. We were eating at Miyabi's, and we had to make reservations because so many crowded people, and you've got to, if not, if you're going to wait an hour or two to get into a restaurant. So we had made reservations, so we're sitting there, and this other young couple is sitting there with us while we're on the other side, and we're just sitting there, we're just eating, and we're laughing and enjoying the cook as he's throwing all of the knives and the silverware all up in the air as he does, And he was really entertaining. I really definitely enjoyed my food. But as we got closer to the end, we learned about this couple, that this couple had been in the ministry and is still in the ministry. And I'm going, wow. And so the wife's told my sister, was sitting beside me, says, my husband is a minister. He's a pastor. And Rhonda looked at me and said, well, he's a pastor too. And so the word, we just started talking back and forth. And it's just amazing how God puts you together with people. And I say all that to say this. When we talk about the gospel and we talk about people that comes your way to the ends of the earth, you don't never know who you're going to meet. You never know when it's going to be your time. Now listen to me very closely. When it's going to be your time, that God literally orchestrates somebody in your life to talk about Jesus or talk about God or to encourage one another. And so with him being, and they were really newlyweds, they'd only been married 6 months, And so he was talking about where he's working at. And so he was saying that on his job, he was literally, God was allowing people to come up to him, and he was able to minister to people on his job. And even though he had been in a church setting, he's not in a church setting anymore. He's working a job now. But he said, but there's like doors that are just opening up with people coming to him. Folks, this is what God does. When we have that relationship with the Lord and we accept Jesus into our heart and life, listen, it's not about us keeping the gospel to ourselves and not sharing with others. It is now that when we receive Jesus Christ, we have received the gospel, we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then it's for us to share with others. And let the opportunity, pray for the opportunity. I think sometimes we don't pray because we get scared, because we think, well, what are we going to say? What are we going to do? Let the Lord lead in your life, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit leads you. He will bring you to all truth, and He'll bring truth to your remembrance. And you may share something with somebody that needed something that day in that moment in life, and it could have been, and it would have been, and it can be you to share the word of encouragement, to say, you know, this was totally orchestrated by God, and it's amazing what God does if we will just allow God to be God in our lives and let God just work in our lives as He sees fit. You know, we're just like a lump of clay, and you know, we've got to go like the potter's house. We've got to be molded. We've got to be applied. Sometimes we get a little rusty. Sometimes we get a little dry. But God needs to moisten us up. God has to do, if we allow Him to do that, God will, and that we will be able to apply. We will apply to what God is trying to say. Therefore, then we can be that vessel that God would like to use in us, in all that we do for the Lord. So I want to encourage you to know that God is forever interceding for you, and He's always in the best interest of you, and He's looking out for you. He sees you. And so that's a word of encouragement that I want to give you today. Let's go to John's Gospel 4 and 34. John's Gospel 4 and 34. Let's look at this a little bit as time will permit. And the title of my message is, as the series is To the Ends of the Earth, we want to look at the harvest. That's my message today. The title of my message is The Harvest. We want to look at the harvest. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." Verse 36, "And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." Verse 37, "For in this, this saying is true, one sows, another reaps, and I send to you reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." Can I hear an amen to God's word? I want you to look at this passage of Scripture. Jesus was saying to them that the harvest is white, it's ripe. And they're referring, as they hear Him, they refer back and say, "Well, we still got 4 more months. We still got more time." And Jesus says, "No, you can't wait for the harvest. The harvest is already here. The fields are white. The fields are ready." And so He refers to them and lets them know, even in growing crops, even in growing that, as we see the farmers today as we see South Carolina grows more peaches than anywhere else in the United States. Did you know that? You know, we always said Georgia was always the peach state, but it has been proven that there's more peaches that grow in South Carolina than anywhere. This is Johnson, South Carolina, is the world's largest peach orchard in the world. And you're right here in South Carolina. And so there is a lot of crops with peaches. And I see men and women out there in droves. They're pruning. They're pruning the trees. They're cutting back. They're taking string, nylon string, and they tie them up. They do this in the winter to get ready for a harvest. And listen, if they're not going to produce, the man that owns the field is going to do everything he can to make that tree produce peaches, for an example. But if it's not going to produce, it's not going to grow. Guess what he does? He cuts it down because it does not do any good to him, because he wants trees that produce, because when it produces, it becomes a great harvest. When it becomes a great harvest, therefore more monies can be made, and the farmer can make more monies because the trees can produce. Well, Jesus is clearly letting us know in this passage, you can't wait 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. You can't wait and then jump on the harvest. He says, now is the harvest. Now that it is time. It is time that we, as Christians, as soldiers of the cross that has accepted Jesus Christ in our hearts and life, it is now for us to work. We are to labor and work for the Lord Jesus Christ, because short time is here and we're in the last days of the last days. And so now it's for us to continue to share the gospel, reach those that are lost, reach those that are discouraged, those that are dealing with oppression, depression, everything that's going on. Let's reach out to them. You may well say, Pastor, well, that's what doctors do. Well, that's what nurses do. Well, we'll just move them over to professionals. And we'll, yes, all that's great. I'm not knocking the doctors. I'm not knocking the nurses. But listen, folks, I want you to know, after the doctors have done all they know to do, and after the nurses have done all they know to do, God takes it to another level. And it can be through you to share the good news. It can be through you that speaks a word to them. It can be through you that can heal them and touch their mind, touch their soul, and understand that Jesus Christ has come to save, deliver, and heal, and He is still in the healing business. He's still in the saving business, and He is a God that sees you exactly where you're at. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. It is not left up to let your neighbor, let your friends, let your other people that you know do the job that God has called you and I to do. He may not have called you to be an evangelist, or He's called you to be a pastor, but He has called every one of us to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has called us because it wasn't a suggestion, as we see in Matthew 28, but He has missioned us, He's commissioned us to reach the lost and to share the good news. That's why we've got to go. We've got to go. I want you to know today that as we've been doing this study, there has been a chapter of surprises that took place. We see the woman at the well was surprised that Jesus spoke to her. We see the woman was surprised at all that Jesus knew about her. The people in the city were surprised at the testimony of what the woman had given. And yet the disciples surprised that Jesus wasn't hungry. You see, even though He went to the well, as we look at this passage before, but yet it wasn't about the food, it was about doing His Father's business. It was about God supplying even His needs, but He was doing the work that God had called Him to do. yet there were surprises that Jesus announced concerning of this great harvest. A great harvest of souls is ready right now. There are people, if they don't know Jesus Christ, is going to make a place called to a place going to hell if we don't reach them, if they haven't accepted Jesus Christ into their heart and their life. People are at stake and their souls are at stake. And yet good pay is offered even to reapers. Yet what every believer needs to know about the harvest is this. My first point is this. The harvest is ready. It is ready. We don't have to wait tomorrow. We don't have to wait till next year. We don't have to wait in 3 months, 4 months. The harvest is ready. John 4 and 35, do you not say there are still 4 months and there comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes. Look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. The harvest has to do with the finishing work of Christ. He who begins a good work in you is faithful to complete it to the very end. He started the work here on this earth, and he did it through his disciples, and his disciples continue to carry the word and continue to share. And there were 3,000 that was converted, 3,000 that was added every day. And the work is not only to continue through the disciples, but it's also now to continue through us. The disciples are dead and gone. They were martyred for Christ. And yet we are still here. We are here for such a time. I've said it and will say it again. You could have lived in the 1930s. You could have lived in the 1800s. But you're living in the 21st century. And you're living here for a reason and a purpose. You are not here just to live and to die and be buried 6 foot under. Or even to be cremated. You are here for a purpose. You are here for a reason. God has you specifically is wanting you to do a work for Him. I want you to get this today. He wants you to do a work for Him. Listen, John 4 and 34 says this, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Finish the Father's work. Jesus still refers back to His Father. Even though the Father and Jesus is one, He says, when you see me, you've seen the Father. When you've seen the Father, you've seen me. But yet, He still lets you know that His Father has sent Him to do the work, and it's for us to finish the work. Yes, He finished the cross. Yes, He died. He bled and died. And He died on the cross. He arose on the third day. He's seated with the right hand of the Father. But Jesus told His disciples, it is for you to continue the work that I've instructed you, that I've continued to tell you. Now I want you to take it. That's the same way that Jesus is still saying through His Holy Spirit, is that we're to continue to reach those that are lost and let people know about the Lord Jesus Christ. He finished His work paying for our sins on the cross. Salvation by grace through faith is offered to all of us. This harvest of souls is ready now. We are not to wait 4 months. We're not to wait a week. We're not to wait days. We are to begin immediately reaching people for Christ. You say, well, Pastor, where do I begin? How do I do this? Let me tell you, you begin with prayer. You begin with prayer. Everything, when you begin to work and do a work for the Lord Jesus Christ that He has called every one of us to do, is that we must pray. Jesus had to get alone from His disciples and pray. Now, some of His disciples wanted to go with Him. And the Bible says that Jesus says, stay here, I've got to go a little bit further. As we look at the New Testament, or we look at the King James, we look at the word yonder. And a lot of times that's in Old English, but that was one of the words that was used in the King James. I must go yonder. And that's what Jesus did. And Jesus came back. He said, for you to tarry here. He said, for you to pray. And when Jesus came back, what happened? He had some disciples that went to sleep. He had to go back again and pray again. And so I want you to know today, Jesus had to get along. If Jesus had to get along in prayer, guess what? You and I have to get along in prayer. You've got to make the time. You say, well, Pastor, I work 50 hours a week and I do this and I do that. Listen, you've got to make time to pray to the Heavenly Father. If Jesus made time, you've got to make time. I've got to make time. We have busy lives, but we've got to make time because, listen, we've got to see where our priorities are at. Where's your priorities at? Is your priorities getting on a job tomorrow? Is your priorities providing for your family? Those are priorities, but listen, let's not forget the essentials. Let's not forget the main thing of the main thing, and that Jesus Christ is to stay intact in our hearts and in our lives, whether we own our jobs, whether we're in school, whether we're wherever we may be. Relationship is so important because Jesus wants us to have a personal relationship with Him. Listen, Jesus doesn't want you just to have a relationship on Sunday morning. He doesn't want you just to have a relationship on Wednesday night. You can't flip your Christianity on and off like a light switch. Some people herd in and herd out of churches and flip on a light switch and flip the switch off and flip it back on. Listen, God wants a personal relationship with you on a daily basis. He wants to talk with you. He wants to share with you. He wants to let you know who He is and what He can do for you. And that is to strengthen you, to encourage you, to lift you up, to let you know you're not alone, but you are together and you and Him are one. That's what He wants to share with you, and He wants you to get into that mode that you are praying and communicating with Him. Listen. Lift up your eyes. We are to do immediately research or begin to reach people for Christ, instructing us to get involved in the harvest. We've got to get involved in the harvest. Lift up your eyes. Don't focus on earthly things. Look at the fields. See the people as God sees them. Look at the people. Look at their lives. God sees them too. God loves them too. You can't say, well, they're going to die and go to hell because they're doing this and that. Listen, love on them. Tell them, listen, I want you to know whatever you're doing, you may think that's great and that's fine, but listen, I want to share with you about something else. I know a man named Jesus Christ, and Jesus came in and gave me peace, gave me joy, gave me content, and let me know that the things that I was chasing after, the things that I wanted to make my life better, wound up being nothing but a disaster. But when I met the man, Jesus Christ, and when He came into my heart, He washed me. He cleansed me. He brought me to where I need to be. And now He's carrying me. I've been trying to carry myself for all these years. But now Jesus grabbed me with His arms. He wrapped me up. And now He's carrying me. And everywhere I go, I'm being carried by Jesus Christ. That's the man that the world needs to know. That's the Jesus that this world needs to know. And that's the Jesus that you and I can know if we continue to fully surrender to His Lordship. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. There are people today that are seeking and searching for things that they don't even know what they're really searching for. But if they only knew Jesus, if they only knew the Savior, if they only knew the Healer, if they only knew who the man of the man that died over 2,000 years ago, that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly, how that they would understand peace and joy and contentment. Yeah, there's going to be trials. There's going to be things that we're going to go through, but you're not going to do it alone. People that don't have Jesus is doing it alone, and they're suffering alone. But when you have Jesus, hallelujah, when Jesus says, yoke up with me, my yoke is easy, Hallelujah. When you yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ, God breaks that yoke, hallelujah, of the enemy and says, when you yoke up with me, my burden is easy, and that we can move on and do what God has called us to do. Hallelujah. 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 We must realize that the fields are white. Realize that there is a need of urgency. Don't procrastinate. There is a lot of procrastination that goes on. And there's a lot that says, well, I'll do it next week, Pastor. I'll do it when it's convenient. I'll do it when I feel like it. I'll do it when I get prepared. I'll do it when I got everything together. Listen, you'll never get it together if you don't start doing it now. Because the enemy is going to tell you, oh, don't worry about it. God loves you. You can just do it whenever you feel like it. But I suggest don't even do it at all. Because it ain't going to amount to anything. Those people ain't going to change their lives. Those people ain't going to live right. Those people ain't going to do that. They're going to think you're foolish. They're going to think you're a fool. You see, that's what the enemy says. That's what the enemy tries to do. But listen, I want you to know today, he is a father of lies. And he's nothing but a liar. And listen, the enemy will try to do everything he can to knock you off your game, to knock you off of your walk with God. But listen, he is a liar. And listen, God is great, and he is Almighty God, and he is in charge. He is in charge. Second point today, the reapers are needed. The reapers are needed. John 4:36 says, and he who reaps receives wages, gathers fruit for eternal life. The both who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Too many spectators, and yet I'm reminded, not enough reapers. Too many slackers, but not enough workers. Let somebody else do it. Let somebody do this. Let somebody, not me, let somebody else do this. Listen, not many expecting a great harvest, because now they've got the point where they don't care. When the slackers get slack and there's not enough workers, then the work of the ministry suffers. Because there's no zeal in the slackers. There's no unction in the slackers. There's no go ye as Jesus has called. It's not the pastor calling you to do something. It's not the members of the laity calling you to do something. It's Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Messiah, the man of the man, of the only man. He's the one that's calling you, not a pastor, not a church. When we accepted Jesus into our hearts and lives, he has called us, he has commissioned us to do the work that he has called us to do. And when we fall in and we begin to do the work that Jesus has called us to do, we will see great and mighty things around us. We will see people saved. We'll see people delivered. We'll see people healed. We will see our church even restored from the healing that God will bring if we did our part. This is the red letter edition. This is what Jesus said. Listen. Listen, we are to be active, aggressive, and reaping. Many are just trying to hold out until Jesus' return. Listen, that's not what Jesus has called us to do, to just hold out. Jesus, I look at Peter. He denied Jesus 3 times. He was the one that said, I don't know Jesus, but yet he was one of the main ones that accepted Jesus and began to share Jesus and began to minister. You see, God doesn't care who you are. You don't have to have degrees. You don't have to have all these great accolades and all these great mighty things. God just wants you. He wants you. He wants to work with everybody on this earth. Listen, I want you to know today, we are to be active, aggressive, and reaping. Reapers must cultivate compassion towards the lost. Let's not get so self-cynical. Let's not get so self-seated in who we are and what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, how we're going to do it, where we're going to do it, and just get so wrapped up in our own agenda. Don't get wrapped up in just your own agenda. Get wrapped up in Jesus and do what Jesus has asked us to do, is to share the love of God. Share your testimony if you've been saved by grace. Let people know how Jesus has, what He's done in your life and what He can do in their life. Matthew 9 and 36, but when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion for them. When He saw the multitude, Jesus, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. There are people that are lost, undone without God. We live in a world where there's no godly leaders. All our godly leaders have left. Everybody has gone to their own ways. We are sheep, like we've gone astray, as Isaiah says. We've led everyone to the slaughter. We have led everyone to their own ways. But Jesus placed upon Him the cross because He saw what was going on with a world that needed Him. And He died on the cross so that you and I could lead people back to the cross, not lead people to yourself, but lead people back to the cross, to let the cross do the healing. Let the cross do the deliverance. Let the cross. See, Jewish people doesn't like the cross because all they see is death. But we as Christians today, we see life. Because we know our Lord and Savior bled and died on the cross. Listen, it wasn't the Romans that put Him on the cross. It wasn't the Jews that put Him on the cross. Jesus put Himself on the cross so that you and I, we have life. He could have called down 10,000 angels and bring Him down off the cross. But Jesus said, I bring my life up and I can lay my life down and I can bring my life back up again, because that's the God we serve, and that's been in facts, and that's been the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, because it'll take the cross of Calvary to save us and to save them. This world. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The need for reapers is urgent. Matthew 9 and 37 says, then He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Reapers must not be lazy. We have not time. We have no time to be lazy. We have no time to be looking to ourselves, because this is demanding work. Let us not be lazy. The Bible says if we do not work for our families and take care of them and provide for them physically, we're like infidels. We're not worthy under God. If God takes that and says it physically, that we're not worthy, then what do you think He looks at us spiritually? He's wanting us to do a work for Him. Listen. He was moved by compassion. Matthew 9 and 38, therefore pray. Pray. Therefore pray. Here's that key word I was sharing with you. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out laborers into His harvest. Listen, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Not your harvest, not my harvest, but Jesus Christ, His harvest. Third, I'm getting close right into my closing here. Third, there are rewards for the reapers in the harvest. Listen, I want you to know there's rewards when you share the gospel, when you share some good news with people. There's rewards that you and I receive. John 4 and 36, and he who reaps receives wages, gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. You may share the word with someone. You may encourage them, and somebody come right along and add what you just started. Hear me? Add just what you start. Yeah, you say, Pastor, how can I? It can happen. God can allow it to happen. You can come and just speak a little nugget about the Lord Jesus Christ in somebody's life. And it could be 2 or 3 days or the next day or a month later, and somebody come right behind and finish up what you ended with. Because the Bible doesn't lie. The Bible says the sowers and the reapers will receive a harvest. You will receive an award, reward. The reward is what God gives unto us. Both who sows and who reaps will rejoice together. Listen, in my closing, for 1 Corinthians 3 and 5, the Apostle Paul says this: who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? This is another one that ministered with Paul. But ministers through whom you have believed, as the Lord gives to each one. Look at what Paul says. I plant, I give the word, I share the word. Apollos comes behind me and he waters what I just said. This is the scripture right here. Let's look at it. I plant, Apollos waters, but here's what happens. When one plants and one waters, but God, notice that letter is capitalized, God, listen, gave the increase. It is nothing on your own. It is not your wisdom. It's not your intellect. It is not all the things that you've got on your mind that's causing anything to happen. It's what Jesus has done in your heart and life, that he has changed you, and the testimony that you have is what God has done, and now you're going to reciprocate, you're going to share that with others that you come in contact with, and it may be just a little bit that you'll share with them, but somebody will come right around as you sow, they're going to add water to it and say, listen, I just want to encourage you today, and you're going to, that person's going to think in their mind, says, well, I think somebody else said that to me. And then guess what? God then finds honor. He finds honor, and therefore he gives the increase. The increase comes, and it will flow as those that give, as they sow, and as those that plant, and those that water. Listen, so then neither he who plants anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building according to the grace of God which was given to you as a wise master builder. I have laid, the Apostle Paul says, I have laid the foundation. Another has built on it. But let each one take heed how they build on it. For there's no other foundation, listen, can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ lays the first foundation. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold and silver and precious stones and wood and hay and straw, each one's work will what? Become clear, for the day will declare it. Because it will be revealed, listen, by fire. And the fire will test each one's work. This is going to happen, folks. Of what sort it is. And if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, listen, if it endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. What are you saying, Pastor? There's some that may want to sow on gold with what they want to say. Some will sow on silver. Some will say a little bit that will equivalent it to hay. There'll be others that will say other things that sounds good, but is it real good? Is it real truth? You know, it's some truth. You know, the devil knows a lot about truth. Hear me today. But when you give solid biblical truth from the Word of God, it will be tested by fire. It will be refined by fire. And the reward will come when you give the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Not some truth, not part of the truth, but the whole truth. And as God will refine it, you will receive the reward from God. And here's my thing. Why not just go all in? Listen, let's not be a lukewarm Christian. Let's not straddle the fence. Let's not put one foot in and one foot out. Listen, let's get all in. If we're all in, we're all in. If you're all out, you're all out. Don't be one in and one out and straddle the fence, because guess what? That's not going to do you any good. It's not going to do you any good, and it's not going to do anybody else any good, because you're not giving what Jesus wants people to have. You're giving because it feels okay with you. It feels all right. You justify, it's okay for me to do a little bit of the gospel. It's okay if I do a little bit. Listen, why not share the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I have met people in life that, and you know them, you've met them too, that are chronicle liars. And they lie so much that they cover up one lie for another lie, and they lie so much that they never know the truth. But here's the thing. You can't cover up a lie with another lie, because you're going to wind up making yourself in a mess, because you're going to catch yourself, or someone else is going to catch you, because you can't cover up something. Why not tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? That's what's wrong with the world today. The world is trying to cover up from this, from this, from this, from this, and it's not getting you anywhere. Jesus says, we are ambassadors, we are disciples, we are servants, and we are to share the truth. Listen, the truth sometimes hurts. The Bible says the word is reproof. It's instruction. It cuts us. The Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword. Listen, it cuts me. If it cuts you, it cuts me as the pastor, it'll also cut you. But that's what it's to do, because that refines us and causes us to be where we need to be with God, not where we want to be with God. Stand with me across the building today, please. Listen. What is the pay for reaping?